Am I? Oh, yes. Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. I don't know about you. I've had a fantastic week. The weather has been wonderful for all of those people that like it hot and humid. We've been able to satisfy that desire. We had a work day yesterday here at the church, and we just mulched like madmen and women. Had a great time doing that. And I'm happy to admit I haven't crunched the numbers on helpers to yards of mulch, but let's just say we were done at 11 o'clock. So thank you to everybody that helped out with that. That's awesome. Appreciate it. Yeah. And all the mulchers said amen. couple of things to let you know. We are going to be getting our new soundboard. They're coming tomorrow to install that. Now, I don't know how much difference it's going to make for you, but it's going to be dramatically different up on this platform because we'll actually be able to use the monitors, and they'll be separate, and it'll be wonderful, and I won't keep wanting to go out there. And so that's coming, so we're excited about that happening this coming week. And so some good things there, be a lot of activity here at the church. Then a couple things happening this week. On Tuesday evening, we'll be having a Vacation Bible School meeting. So everyone involved with Vacation Bible School, we would like and love you to be at that meeting. It's at 7:30 on Tuesday evening, and we have as a goal to be done in half an hour. Now, if we're not done in half an hour, it's Lori's fault. That's what I've been told. So it should be a fairly quick meeting. We just want to make sure everybody knows what's going on and all our bases are covered. And so if you're going to help out with Vacation Bible School, please make extra effort to be here Tuesday evening at 7:30. Yes, I'm still looking for someone who would be willing to go and represent our church for our denominational meetings in Salina, Ohio. I'm looking for a couple people who would be willing to go there for the day. It starts at 9 and ends at by 4. If you're interested, if transportation is an issue, let me know. We'll see if we can't work something out in order to make that workable. You need to be a member of the church in order to represent us at that meeting. We'll be talking about the things that are happening in our denomination as well as in our region. Some exciting things are occurring, and if you would be willing to be part of that, please either contact myself or John Nixon, and we'll work out the details to make that happen. And so please let us know. Prayer requests. Remember families that have lost loved ones. Del Hackett passed away, and then last Sunday, Dorothy Slater went home to be with the Lord. Her services will be this coming Saturday. We'll have visitation from noon to 1, and then at 1 o'clock we'll have her service, and it will be here at the church, and you're more than welcome to come and support the family this Saturday. Also, my mom, Mary Kaufman, had her surgery this past Tuesday. It was a little more complicated than anticipated, but she's doing well. She got to come home yesterday. Is driving my father crazy. And so she's feeling better, and we're excited about that, and the surgery very much was a success. And so thank you for all your prayers and as she continues to recover. Joby Dye, her great-granddaughter, was having some medical issues, ended up at Children's Hospital. She's back home, but do keep this little one in your prayers. Her name is Vivi, not out of the woods yet, but is in need of your prayers in the days, weeks to come. But she's doing much better, and so we praise God for that, but keep little Vivi in your prayers. Any that I may have missed this morning? Yeah. First name? K. K. Jacobs. Okay. Remember the family of K. Jacobs. She passed away, and so keep that family in your prayers. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love for us each and every day, and we thank you that you are present with us, whether we acknowledge or feel your presence or not, you are still there. And so, Lord, we welcome you here today and ask that you would be working in our congregation and just drawing us closer to you and revealing yourself more and more fully each day. Lord, we ask that you would be with those that we've mentioned as prayer requests, and Lord, for the families that have lost loved ones, for the medical issue of the little one, and Lord, for all of those things that weigh heavy on our hearts, that Lord, you would hear our prayers and answer our prayers. And sometimes that means yes, and we love miracles, they're awesome. But Lord, sometimes the answer is no, and we don't like that answer. So help us to learn how to hear your voice and know your will. And Lord, those times when things don't go the way we want them to, help us to understand that your ways are not our ways. And Lord, you understand in the fullness of time. We only understand in a moment in time. And so Lord, just continue to work in our midst and help us to draw closer to you. Lord, we love you. We want you to be part of our service. We want to lift your name up. We want to sing your praises. We want to hear from you. And Lord, just speak to our hearts that Lord, we might more and more fully understand who you are and what you expect of us. And Lord, walk with us as we walk in this world. And Lord, the political climate and all the yuck that's going on there, we just ask that you would be working in the midst. And Lord, for the war in Ukraine, and we don't understand the full extent, but we know this, that people's lives are being taken. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be there and working as well. And Lord, be with all of those that are troubled and have heavy hearts. Lord, just walk throughout our world. It seems to be full of turmoil. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to see you more clearly, that as we live our lives, the world would see the difference that you've made in us and be drawn to you. Help us to do our part. Lord, watch over us as we worship this day. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone has a birthday today. Could that be my beloved? My lovely wife turns 26 today. And we should sing happy birthday to her. Oh, you're already? Okay. Well, let's sing happy birthday to Lynn. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lynn. Happy birthday to you. She told me that she spent more time as my wife than she has in her father's home, and I asked her, what kept you with me so long? But she didn't go away, so yay. God bless you. I love her dearly. Let's stand together and welcome one another to our services. Feel free to shake hands, bump fists, click elbows, or just smile.
Good morning. Let's start our time of singing. He has made me glad. Otherwise known as I'll Enter His Gates, number 214 in your hymnal.
And we're going to put our hands together. Go, Amy.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Thank you.
Now, the Lily of the Valley, number 626. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Through all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. From his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where the river light shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You may be seated.
Yeah. Let's try that again. There we go. Scripture for today is taken from the book of Psalms, the first chapter. We're going to read the whole thing. It's about six verses. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step which the wicked, or that stand in the way of sinners, that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. At this time, if the kids would come down, we have a little time with them. Now, I've got something in a cup. You see that?
Dirt.
It could be dirt. You know what? We'll just do this. Do you know what that is?
Mulch!
It's wonderful stuff! We got to play. Now, some of you were here yesterday and got to play in the mulch. Yes, and we had a good time spreading the mulch. I'm going to put what's mostly back in the cup, but I want to spill some on the floor just to help us remember we're talking about mulch. So what's good? What's mulch good for? Why do we use it? Yeah. We'll come back. Somebody back here. Why? What's that? Okay, the mulch actually deteriorates over time. It puts nutrients into the soil. Yeah? Yeah. Why else?
It supports the plants.
It supports the plants so they don't fall over. Yeah.
It looks nice.
It looks nice. Doesn't it look awesome? Yeah. It does all of those things. It keeps the weeds out. We don't like weeds. Why don't we like weeds?
It ruins the plants and flowers.
Yeah, because they take the nutrients that we want to go to the flowers.
And they look bad.
And they look bad. Weeds are gross. That's all there is to it. But, you know, the mulch is kind of there. It helps and supports and comes alongside the things that we want to grow. And it keeps things that we don't want to grow from growing. This is good stuff. We use it a lot. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about our lives as Christians, because it seems to be that we're kind of a little bit like plants. Sometimes weeds grow around us. What would the weeds be that grow around us as people? Yeah. Bad things. We don't like bad things. They're gross. Those things that make us go against what God tells us are the bad things. And you see, and God comes around us, and when God surrounds us, we can keep those bad things away. We can keep those weeds out of our lives. And God nourishes us and gives us strength and supports us and does all of those things to help us grow to be the people we were created to be. So let's thank God, and maybe he's a little bit like good mulch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the things that you do. Thanks for being there when we need you. Thanks for supporting us. And Lord, thanks for helping us see the weeds in our lives, the bad things, and help us to say no to them and yes to you, that we might grow up to be who you've created us to be. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. At this time, if our ushers would please come forward. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all that you've given to us. And Lord, we ask that your blessing would be upon us. And Lord, that you would continue to enable us to prosper even at times as difficult as we find ourselves in. So Lord, we give a portion unto you for the furthering of your kingdom, that others would be able to hear the good news. And Lord, that you would assist us to grow in our walk with you. Watch over us, watch over our congregation, be with us each and every day, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank my friend Todd Swallen for accompanying me this morning. Thank you. My song this morning is going to be very familiar to those in my generation. But I have changed the words to the chorus the last time I sing it. Those words speak of my testimony, and I hope it can be yours. I believe in miracles. Creation shows the power of God. There's glory all around, and those who see must stand in awe, for miracles abound. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set miraculous, the change in one redeemed through Calvary. And I've seen the lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. I cannot doubt the work of God. It's plain for all to see. The miracles that he has wrought should lead to Calvary. God, O power divine, 'tis wonderful to see the miracle of grace performed within the heart of me. I believe in miracles. I am a soul set free. The burden of my guilt and shame, he took it all for me. Now there's power over sin and death as we walk this barren sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. I believe in miracles,
You know, as pastors, we always want the best music and the best of everything, and that really hit it out of the park. Thank you so much. That was just wonderful, the singing, and thank you, Todd, for playing. It makes me just want to go home and not preach, because I don't know if I can live up to that standard, but I guess we'll give it a whirl and try and get there. I'm going to talk about happiness. Anybody here want to be happy? Yeah, we like to be happy. It's part of the world things that desires from within us, and sometimes we have to draw a line between happiness and joy, because happiness comes and goes, and joy is a state of being. But this morning I want to just talk about pure happiness, to just boil it down. I mean, the Bible tells us so many great things. I mean, it's such a wonderful, wonderful book. But let's be honest, sometimes it gets a little confusing. I mean, sometimes we tell the same story over and over. Why? You know, is it because that we as human beings are a little bit daft and we need to hear it multiple times before it kind of gets through our minds? Maybe. But I think a lot of it is because we don't fully understand sometimes how the Bible's glued together. We want to read the Bible like we read a novel. And there's parts where you can do that, but as a whole, it just doesn't lend itself that way. Because the Bible's kind of broken up into different segments. I'm just going to talk about the Old Testament. We'll leave the New Testament for another series. But when we talk about the Old Testament, you start out, there's the historical part. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of those. They talk about the history of the nation of Israel, and we have that, and there's like 17 of those. And then we have the poets. And we put all the poets together, you know, Song of Solomon and Job and Psalms and Proverbs and all those good ones. We put all those together. It's like five of those. And then we go to the prophets. Oh, my goodness. Love the prophets. Phenomenal things in there. But they talk a lot about things that are happening in their day and in their time. And sometimes we don't have access to that. So when you're reading the prophets, you almost need a commentary that you can kind of go to and say, what are they talking about? To be able to kind of set that in its proper framework and kind of enjoy that. And all these different genres sometimes say the same things, but because it's in a different genre, they tell some of the same stories over, and it gets a little bit confusing. But I want to talk about the poets. I'll tell you what, growing up, I hated poetry. Matter of fact, I had a teacher that made us write a poem. It was torture. I would rather have been beat up on the playground than write a poem. Reading it was bad enough. It was, as my Greek professor said, a laborious periphrasis, and I believe every word of it. But as I've grown in age as well as in my walk with God, I began to see some of the really cool things that are in the poetical books of the Bible. And so we're going to spend a number of weeks, I think it sits at six right at the moment, where we're going to be looking at the poetry. We're going to be looking at Psalms. I love Psalms. Psalms were written for every dimension and aspect of life. No matter what's happening in our lives, there's a psalm to come alongside. And the neat thing is, one of the things that they do, if you can read Hebrew, is when they would read Hebrew, they would sing. Now, if you had a pastor that had a melodious voice, this would be wonderful. You do not have that. I will not be reading anything in Hebrew. Not that I can't read Hebrew, it just does not sound good. But when they read, they would sing it. That's why it's a psalm, but the psalms are songs. and they tell us a story or they give us information, and they're just wonderful, and we're going to be spending some time in the Psalms. And when I kind of got this started, I said, well, if I'm going to do some sermons out of the book of Psalms, you have to start at the beginning. Now, once you get started, I mean, you can skip around a little bit, and that's fine, but the Psalms 1 kind of gives us the basis for the Psalms, and it talks about being happy. Kind of, in essence, says if you want to be happier, read this book. If you want to be a person who bears fruit in season, read this book. It's a book for all seasons. If you read it regularly, you'll be like a tree planted beside the still water, the flowing streams. You'll never look back. You'll never lack that life-giving water that enables you to flourish and bear fruit. So basically, more Bible, less binge watching, or more scripture, less screen. You know, you ever notice, and I hope this is the case, but for me, I always feel better after church. There's something about coming together with other Christians that lifts me up. And there's something about talking about God's word and sharing that with one another that lifts me up. There's something about singing his praises and hearing his word. It lifts me up. And because of that, I always leave better than when I came. It lifts me up. And that lifting me up is what I refer to as being happy. I mean, I'm happy after church because we all got to get together. I've been lifted up. Now, I'd like to say I was walking on air, but not really. But it does lift me up. And I would say I'm happier because of it. So if we're happier because we've come to church, there's got to be something there, and I believe Psalms chapter 1 helps us figure out exactly what it is that we need to do to be happier. Who needs to be happier? Yeah, and all those who didn't raise your hand are liars. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. All of a sudden, hands are shooting up all over the place. I don't know what the... But it seems to me... Now, I'm not saying that if you're a sourpuss and you do these things, it's going to somehow infuse you with happiness. But I am going to say, if you do these things, your spirit will be lifted. And if your spirit's lifted, that's my definition of happy, is having good or high spirits. Okay? Now, this may not change the look. I mean, some of you may look like you've been sucking on persimmons, and it may not make a difference to that, but it will lift your spirits. So I want to look at the combination or what it is that we can do and be part of to actually have our spirits lifted, and I call that pure happiness. First thing I want to look at is what it is that Psalms chapter 1 is telling us that happy people do and do not do. And you see, it seems to me that as it's talking here, it's telling us these are the things that you should be doing as you live life. So as you're walking is my phraseology that I'm going to be pulling in. So as we're living our lives, these are the things that should be happening. You see, we make decisions all day long. Walking isn't about staying put. Walking isn't about where you live mentally, emotionally, or relationally. You see, after you walk for a while, you usually get to the place where you're going, and when you do, you stop walking, and then you stay there. I want to take us to the next level. I want to look at walking is the decisions we make all day long, from when we wake up in the morning till when our eyes close in sleep at night. The decisions that we make all along the day are the decisions that have an emphasis on us. You see, while we're walking, we're not standing. Why doesn't that say stand? Did it change? Is that the next? Okay. The commitments that we make to various causes. It's kind of a thinking that you adopt, or the way you see life. You make a decision, that's walking. And your decisions make you, and your, that's standing. So where you stop is what we're concerned about. As you're walking along, where is it that you end up? Where are you headed for? So often in our lives, what we're headed for is something that's earthbound. And when we're earthbound, we stop walking when we get there. If you're coming to church, you stop when you get here. If you're going to Walmart, you stop when you get there. I mean, it's one of those things. You've arrived at your destination. We need to understand in our Christian walk that the destination is heaven, and so we're not to stop until we get there. And so often we think, well, I've come to this place. I don't know how many times I've heard individuals, well, I became a Christian. I gave my heart to Jesus. I did that, so I'm done. No. You see, making a commitment to Christ, yes, you're going to heaven. I'm not disputing that. But your walk has begun. It's not a stopping spot. It's a starting spot. We finish when we're walking on the streets of heaven. But until we get there, there's still something that we are to be doing. We need to be walking. The commitments that we make to the God that loves us needs to continue on. All too often, we basically are sitting. The attitude of our hearts. It said, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. So often we surround ourselves, well, maybe as we talked with the kids, we need a little more mulch. What we need is a little more protection because the places we've chosen to sit are not the places that we should be. And we need to surround ourselves more and more with the things of God. If we really want to be happy, we need to be doing those things that God is calling us to do. Are we willing to do those things? Second thing I want to talk about is a happy person basically does three things. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, and here's where we can kind of move forward. A happy person delights in God's words. Now, we understand that God's word is Scripture. He wrote that for us on purpose. He gave it to us because probably somewhere in the days of old, somebody made that smart remark, well, it's not like it's written down. Or maybe they said, oh, sure, chisel that in stone. So God went ahead and did just those things. He gave us the Ten Commandments, chiseled it in stone. He gave us his word in black and white so that we would have access to it, so that we could read it, so that we could see who God is. And we are to delight in God's word. It seems to me that as I live my life as a Christian, as I'm reading God's word, it seems to be used on a regular basis. The things that I read are the things that seem to come to mind as I'm living life to give me hope and direction in the difficult times. And so it's my recall that's so much easier. And then as those scriptures are called back to mind, it impacts the world in my daily living. Are we willing to delight in God's word? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read God's word, it tells me things that I don't want to hear. Sometimes I read things in God's word and I realize that I'm doing some of the things that it's saying, you know, you ought not. And I'm not real happy about that because now I've got to change things. And I don't like to change things. I'm 60 years old. I'm beginning to understand what it feels like to have a good rut. And there's nothing wrong with a good rut if the rut is leading you where you want to go. But the problem is I get in a good rut, and then God says, this is going to cause you pain at some point. And I say, okay, well, I would like to be someplace else. And then I realize I got to get out of the rut. How do you get out of the rut? You go back and you read God's word more and more, because it's there that we find the strength to redirect our path. Because I don't know about you, but if the rut doesn't get me where I want to go, there's no sense being in the rut. And it's time to step out. And I think it's easier in the rut, but you know what? Why do we do that? Why do we stay in the rut when we know it's not going to take us where we want to go, and at some point it's going to cause us pain, but maybe not today? Well, I'll get out of the rut tomorrow. I'll get out of the rut next week. I'll get out of the rut just in time that it doesn't cause me pain. I'll get out of the rut just, why do we do that? And then we run smack dab into a cement block wall and our nose gets broken, and we whine because our nose gets broken. Well, it's self-inflicted. Why would we do that? When we read God's word, it gives us the strength. It not only tells us, here's a direction change we need, but it gives us the strength to get out of the rut. We need that strength. Because we can't just read God's word. We need to think about it deeply. You know, in Hindu, they use the term to meditate. And in Hindu perspective, you are to empty your brain, you're to think of nothing. Please never do that. Okay? Don't do that. In Christianity, when we say we want you to meditate, we want you to meditate on Scripture, we want your mind to focus on what God has written. Do not empty your mind, because when you empty your mind, you open yourself up to all kinds of goofy stuff. Don't do that. Fill your mind with the things of God. Think about them deeply. Meditate on what God is saying and how this impacts your life. Because in that, then God is able to give us the direction that we need, that we can live life and live it to the full, that we can actually be happy. Have you ever gotten out of a rut? You know, a good one. And it took some work to get out of the rut. You had to buy a ladder to get out. You had to kind of do some of the things that you were doing to get out of the rut. And I remember climbing up the ladder and getting out of a particular rut and standing on the solid ground, and you know what? It felt awesome. You want to talk about happiness. To overcome those things that are taking me away from God and push them aside where they need to be and allow God to be first place and to stand up on top of the stuff, oh man, to live life again, to know that kind of freedom. You know, if we'll think and meditate on what God is saying, it gives us the courage and the strength that we need to move. That way we can think about them day and night. So basically it's saying all the time, yeah, I know, Pastor, you love the Bible. You're a reader, and so you dig that. But yeah, I'm just an average person. Good for you. Yay. But here's the thing. I didn't always love the Bible. Growing up, the Bible was used pretty much as a whipping post. I was growing up, and people would tell me, well, the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. Well, the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. The Bible says you're not supposed to do that. Every time somebody started out with the Bible, I was already cringing. Because it just seemed like all that it was used for was telling me everything that I was doing wrong. So reading it was painful, because as I read it, all I was open to was all the things it was going to tell me I'm doing wrong. I got that whole legal dynamic that goes in that begins to beat us up. You see, Scripture is there, and the truth is that the part of the reason the Bible was given to us by God is so that we would be able to understand that we are far away from Him, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That's part of the dynamic. So there is that element in the Bible, and it seems that we in North America have grabbed that up, and we just love to beat people up with Scripture. Because if I can tear you down, that makes me feel better. Some warp, weird dynamic that almost sounds evil. The Bible, yes, it has right and wrong. But as we study it deeply, as we're willing to study it day and night, we find out there's so much more. And what we find out is that, yes, there's the right and the wrong, and we need that in our walk with God. But over and over and over, it tells us how much we're free from the bondage of sin, free to be who God has created us to be. And then it begins to tell us what that freedom is and what it looks like. I don't know about you, but I like freedom. I love it. And I think all too often we are tied down by our Christianity, and the Bible is telling us that we're free. Free to be who God has created us to be. And I found that the more I look at all the stuff that I'm allowed to do, I'm able to do, that God is calling me to do, I don't have time to disobey. I'm not perfect. It's not that disobedience doesn't come in. That would be really good. I'm not there yet. But if I emphasize and I look at, you ever go on a diet? And when you're on a diet, what you do is you surround yourself with donuts. And that coffee that comes from the gas station, that's like 540 calories a cup. You know, we surround ourselves with that, and we get all the stuff that we're not allowed to have, and we get it really, really close to us, and we sit in the middle and say, I resist you. I live for Brussels sprouts. I live for Brussels sprouts. I mean, nobody does that. Why? Because you will fail every time. What we do is we try and separate ourselves from the things that we know are bad for us, and we try to eat healthy things. Even Brussels sprouts. Because we know if we eat the right things, then our weight will take its proper space. And when we eat healthy, then we become healthy. In the same way in our walk with God, when we think about the things of God day and night, the things and the freedoms and the love that He has for us, well, it begins to have an impact on who we are, and it draws us closer to the God that loves us. You see, I want to take a little bit and look at why we're happy. We can be happy because we're constantly taking in nourishment. We can be happy little mulched petunias. We can be happy little mulched shrubs or whatever we happen to be, because we've got the support that we need. We've got the nourishment that we need. We've got the Bible there to give us all the things that we need to help us to flourish. What happens when a plant flourishes? Man, it goes crazy with flowers. It sends shoots and branches everywhere. It grows and it tries to touch the sun. It just goes bonkers. Did you ever see a Christian gone bonkers? I'm talking about the good ones, not the... A Christian on fire for God because of that relationship that he has. One that's willing to acknowledge his imperfection or her imperfections and work on them, but at the same time continue to point to the God that loves. Our world needs to see those kinds of people. And if we're going to be those kinds of people, we need to be rooted. We need to have God on our hearts and on our minds day and night. We need to be taking in that nourishment that God has in His Word that we might truly prosper. Most important organ in your body is your brain. It does the thinking. Pound for pound, the brain consumes far more calories than any other organ. It's constantly working, constantly needs feeding. Your brain takes up 2% of your body mass, but consumes 20% of your calories. Oh, Lord, give me a big brain. In the same way, feeding on God's Word on a regular basis is necessary for us to grow. He gave us His Word. Do you want to be happier? Read God's Word. You want to be happy? Delight in God's Word. You want to be happy? Read it day and night. You want to be happy? Obey it. You see, it seems to me, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, there's a certain amount we need to know. We need to know facts and figures. We need to understand biblical references. We need to be able to take God's Word and allow it to swirl around in our brain to try and understand what He's saying to us. But all of that knowledge needs to drop to our hearts. And I think sometimes, and a lot of times, that's where we in the church in America really struggle. We have the knowledge, but it hasn't impacted our hearts. And this morning, if we're really going to be happy, we have to let that knowledge impact our heart to change who we are, to change the dynamic by which we operate, to solidify a foundation that we can stand on, because when we do, then we will be happy. Because we can be happy regardless of what's happening in our lives. We can be happy as the stock market falls. We can be happy as the gas prices rise. We can be happy regardless of who sits in the White House or in the Senate. We can be happy because we have a relationship with God that's making a difference. And our job here is not to be rich when it comes to dollars, but to be rich when it comes to God. And if we focus on that, the other things will take their rightful spot. We will be happy. I am, tell you the truth, I've seen so many Christians that look like they're sucking on persimmons that it really has begun to hurt my heart. We should be happy. Not that bad things don't happen. I get that. We all have struggles. But at the same time, where is that uplifting spirit that comes from a relationship with our God? I'm not saying everybody has to be an optimist, but what I am saying is even the pessimists can be happy. And that happiness comes from our relationship with God. And when we're standing on the solid ground as the world shakes around us, we acknowledge the shaking. We understand the shaking. But I'm only here for a time. And when I'm done here, I get to go be with Jesus, and that brings a smile to my face. Not that I'm in a hurry, but at the same time, you know, I've said before, I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven, but if God opens the door, I'm not going to let it hit me in the rear end on the way through. Because I know that God will take care of it. And if I go first, God will take care of my wife and my kids. But if He takes my wife and my kids, God doesn't change. He's still there, and I'll live every day. Will I have pain and sorrow in my heart? I can't even imagine the mountain of pain and sorrow in my heart. But I can still be happy because I continue to serve the God that loves me with abandon. Regardless of our situation, we can be happy. We can have the joy that knows no end. We can be close, that close, to the God that truly loves us. I'm going to run through the last 4 points because I realized I've kind of covered them elsewhere. But why the happy aren't happy? It's pretty straightforward as we kind of round things down. First, they don't have an anchor of truth to guide them. We have God's word. It's the same today, tomorrow, forever. Because the truth that is there never changes. The unhappy aren't happy because they don't have a happy group to lift them. Why do you think we come to church every week? Do we come to church to beat one another up and tell them how lousy they are? Or do we come together to build them up and to celebrate the great things that are doing and going on, and in those that struggle, we want to lift them up? We want to draw them closer to the God that loves us. We want to celebrate all the little things, all the little ones. We've got a new little one. That's just awesome. Sorry, but keep on track. They don't have the Lord watching over their ways. They're on their own. And when you think about it, if I had to live my life without God standing beside me, if I had to live my life without the principles that God has written in His Word, if I had to live my life all by myself, you want to talk about crashing and burning? You want to talk about a grease spot on the floor? It stands right here because I understand and know that God is with me, and because of that, He lifts me up. He gives me strength. He stands beside me so that regardless of what's happening in my life, I'm still happy. Just the other day, I ran into an individual and they were having a hard time, and I was trying to encourage them a little bit, and they said, "Pastor Arnie, why do you have such a dripping personality?" Truth of the matter, my dripping personality is only because God stands beside me each and every day. That even when the difficult times come, He's there to lift me up. Does it mean I never get sad? Oh, I get sad just along with everybody else. Does it mean that tears never come to my eyes? Oh, I've shed a lot of tears. But what it means is I have something that transcends all this world has. And when I rely on that, a smile once again comes across my face. Once again, we're lifted up in the midst of the world in which we live. The things of this world will not get me down because I'm anchored in Jesus. Gold's going to be dirt when we get there. Why buy it here? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for all that You're doing. And Lord, we just ask that You would continue to be with and walk with us. We want to be happy, but not that happy that's laughing at a good joke, a happiness that goes deep within our soul, that Lord, regardless of the situation and the things that this world throws at us, we can be happy because we know You. And because of that, we stand upon a solid ground that's not made of earth and soil and rock. The solid ground that comes from the price that Jesus paid, that we can be reconciled and united with You, that, the Lord, we can stand the shifting sands of this world because we're anchored in You. Help us to walk with You. Help us to understand Your love more and more each day. Lord, come, inhabit our hearts. Fill us up to the full with Your love that we might share it with the world. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our closing hymn, Trust and Obey, number 571.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Trust
and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Just leave that slide up for a second. Oh, not quick enough. You know, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. May He go with us through this week. Amen.